Go, Pagamata, Siam, Kun, Radhakunda, Giri, Govardhan, Kijai, Vrindavanam, Kijai, Maturam, Kijai, Jagannatha Swami, Kijai, Yamunamai, Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi, Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrindi, Kijai, Gaur, Premananda, Hari Haribo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bol. Okay, so we're going to read from the fourth canto, chapter 28, text 47. Someone can use this book if they want, because I have a Kindle here. So if you want to follow along or chant along or whatever. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. Atmanam Sochati Dinam Abandum Viklavashubehi. That's 4:28:47. Stanav Asitcha Vipanhe Susvaram Praruroda Sa Atmanam Shachati Denahum Abandum Viklavashrubi Astanavasisha Vipine Susvaram Prarudodasa Atmanam Shachati Denahum Abandum Viklavashrubihi Astanava Sitcha Vipinne Susvaram Praru Rodasa Atmanam Shochati Nenahum Abandum Viklavashrubihi Sanavasischa Vipine Shusvaram Prarurodasa.
Okay.
Atmanam Shachati Dinam
Abandum
Viklavashubi Sanavasischa Vipine Sushvaram Prarurodasa. I guess no one else. Okay. Atmanam, about herself. Shochati, lamenting. Dinam, wretched. Abandhum, without a friend. Biklava, brokenhearted. Ashubahi, by tears. Stanau, her breasts. Asitcha, wetting. Vipane, in the forest. Asusvaram, loudly. Praruroda, began to cry. Sa, she. Translation. Being now alone and a widow in that forest, the daughter of Vidarbha began to lament incessantly, shedding tears which soaked her breasts and crying very loudly. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Figuratively, the queen is supposed to be the disciple of the king. Thus, when the mortal body of the spiritual master expires, his disciples should cry exactly as the queen cries when the king leaves his body. However, the disciple and spiritual master are never separated because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as the disciple follows strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called the association of bani, words. Physical presence is called vapu. As long as the spiritual master is physically present, the disciple should serve the physical body of the spiritual master, and when the spiritual master is no longer physically existing, the disciple should serve the instructions of the spiritual master. All right, end of purport. Admanam shachati dinam abandum viklavashubhi stanavashicha vipane susvaram pravrodasa. So omagana timidanda shakananjana shalakya chatsu unmiditam yena tasmai shi gurve namaha. So this comparison is given there between the disciple and spiritual master and the spiritual master compared to the widow or the wife of someone and the husband because of the it's the intensity of meditation and the chastity that is concerned there. So, of course, nowadays, as far as, first we'll start talking about wives and husbands. The wives are not as dedicated to the husbands as they were before. There's a variety of reasons for that. One reason is that when people get married nowadays, they've had a variety of relationships before, isn't it? Before marriage. And so that same chastity just doesn't become imbued in the heart of the lady. Or the same loyalty. Let's talk about chastity for the women and loyalty for the men. It's not there because they're used to multiple partners, isn't it? In modern society. Like Prabhupada advocated that, and it's, the Vedic system does advocate, although it's politically incorrect, getting the girls married at an early age, right after puberty. So, and not necessarily that they would live with the husband, just like you see in the case of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He married someone, actually, the girl was 5 years old, something like that. And Prabhupada, same thing too. But his first wife, second wife is different. But his first wife actually passed away, and second wife, Bhagavati, was the mother of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. So, you see that, oh, there's a saw out there. It's interesting. Interesting sound effect I'll try to tolerate. So they didn't live with each other at that early age. But it was fixed in their mind, practically from their very time that they could be conscious, that this is my husband, or this is my wife, you understand? And so, naturally, when they went through that stage of puberty, they weren't just looking at everybody. Is it him? Is it him? Is it her? Is it her? They just, you know, it kept the mind peaceful. Although it's not politically correct to talk about stuff like that nowadays, but it kept the mind peaceful. And the girl was completely dedicated to the husband. I mean, that was also the girl's whole life. And I'm not saying we should imitate this. The girl's whole life and, you know, everything was based on service to the husband. Nowadays, it's a little bit different. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not putting a value judgment on it. I'm just saying it's different. So the girls are educated, they have a life of their own, isn't it? And, you know, the husband, he's there, you know, he's probably pretty important. It wasn't, the husband wasn't like that. Isn't like that now, sorry. So nowadays when the husband dies, you know, then the wife will take the ashes or whatever, and then after a few months, years or whatever, then maybe remarriage or something like that, right? So here this particular, the reason I'm talking about all this is this particular example is used in the Vedic or the ancient paradigm that was there many, many years ago. Even in America, it was there. I mean, it's not just like in India. It's not just an Indian thing. It was actually, in many cases, it was all around the world that the wife was dedicated like that. So anyway, so when the husband would die, the wife would lament, first of all, as being described here, and in many cases, she would jump into the funeral pyre of the husband, and that, of course, is called the sati rite. Are you going to tell them to stop using the saw? Because it's really annoying. I mean, the only worst thing is to have someone snoring during Bhagavatam class, which I've had before. It's been my experience. So anyway, so she would voluntarily embrace the fire. Like you had Madri, who was the wife of Pandu, and Pandu passed away being attracted to Madri. And then Madri, it was decided between Kunti and Madri, because Madri wasn't equal to all the children, and Kunti was equal to all the five Pandavas. So it was decided that Madri would embrace the fire. And that wasn't considered a punishment, it was considered a blessing that the wife could do that, because she would go on to join the husband somewhere else. You know, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajate ante klevram. Of course, I'm not referring to that case, but in some cases that means the wife would take a male birth and the husband would take a female birth, but somehow or other they would be together. But in the case of Madri, she went to join Pandu, you know, wherever Pandu was after he passed away. So that's really the scenario we're talking about here. So in the case of the disciple, getting back to the metaphor here, in the case of the disciple who loses the spiritual master, you know, similar emotions are there, because the disciple's very life is based on pleasing and serving the spiritual master. I remember, I mean, just reflecting on the movement, because this is a verse that's always recited on Prabhupada's disappearance day. I remember when Srila Prabhupada disappeared, of course, people, devotees were thinking that Prabhupada wouldn't disappear, isn't it? I mean, they were just thinking, this is a pastime. He gets sick, we chant, he gets well, then he gets sick again, we chant again, Prabhupada's coming back to New Talavan again, you know, he's going to visit in the future, we'll make a house for him, a palace in New Vrindavan, you know, all these different plans. So when Prabhupada did pass away, it was just a disbelief, wasn't it? It was just like, huh? And then everybody collapsed, basically. It was for the next, I would say for the next week or two, everybody was crying. You go to Arti. I remember going to Sundar Arti that day. We found out in the morning, I was in Los Angeles. We found out in the morning, everybody started crying. And then Sundar Arti, everybody was crying. I mean, it was an outpouring of devotion for Prabhupada. And so the people, devotees, were trying to figure out, what now? Because we were dependent. Like, there were letters coming from Prabhupada all the time. It was, you know, like the husband guiding the wife. Because there were letters coming, there was instructions, there was stories. What did Prabhupada do today? I mean, even though we didn't have internet in those days, I don't even think we had fax machines in those days. We had telephone. So, and it was expensive to make telephone calls in those days. So, but still, you know, we get these messages. Whenever someone would get a letter anywhere in the movement, then you get this message, you know, Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada said, everybody go out and sankirtan. Just eat once a day. You remember that message? That was interesting. And everybody did it. And we were starving to death the rest of the day. But we did it. So it was like this really, you know, warm, fatherly, son-daughterly relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I mean, it was just like that. Of course, in the beginning, when Prabhupada first started the movement, Prabhupada knew everybody in the movement. Everybody had like a let's say, direct interaction with Prabhupada. But still, it was direct even later on, because people could feel the presence of Prabhupada in the movement. And of course, we can still feel the presence of Prabhupada today. So then devotees started searching, what? And many devotees who, let's say, were exclusively attached to just the Bapu or form of Prabhupada, they got so confused, and many devotees left the Krishna consciousness movement. Many devotees who just who hadn't imbibed the Vani instructions of Srila Prabhupada and were more, for lack of a better word, like guru premis or something like that. It was more like many of them left the Krishna consciousness movement because they hadn't matured to the stage of developing a relationship with, you know, Prabhupada's instructions, Prabhupada's example, and everything like that. So, but those devotees, it was like a test. And actually, it says in the fourth canto, part four, that the devotee who takes shelter. That's all right, that's all right. It's Krishna. It's not a saw. So devotees who serve the mission of the spiritual master, we'll read in the fourth canto, the super soul becomes manifest before them. In other words, they get instruction from Prabhupada from within the heart. That means their intelligence, because it's not that, at least I did not experience like seeing, you know, Forearm Vishnu in front of me. But Vishnu experiences or gives you the experience of his presence through what? You know, Krishna's in the heart. So those devotees became stronger because they took shelter of Prabhupada's mission. Not only the instructions, not only the example, but the mission of Prabhupada. Prabhupada specifically makes that point in the fourth canto, part four. Some devotees went out and made their own missions outside of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Prabhupada had commented on that previously, saying that anyone who thinks they're Krishna conscious outside the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is living an hallucination. And that's in reference to Prabhupada's followers. That's not in reference to everybody. It's not a criticism of other Gaudiya organizations or anything like that. But a Prabhupada follower who leaves, they haven't considered what Prabhupada said about serving the mission of Prabhupada. Not only the chanting, not only the philosophy, but the mission of Prabhupada, which is the International Society for Krishna, isn't it? As far as I checked, last time I checked. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada described it like a boat. Prabhupada said sometimes the boat may rock from side to side, but you don't jump out and get a lifeboat or get your own boat. So, really, that's the test of a disciple. Now, fast forward to modern times, where the majority of devotees in the Krishna conscious movement aren't direct initiated disciples of Srila Prabhupada, it's really important to have devotees trained up insofar as understanding what the mission of Srila Prabhupada is. Not just the philosophy, because if you just have the philosophy, the teachings, fine. But then you may not be faithful to ISKCON. You may just, you know, go off in some other organization. But Prabhupada's mission is described in the Bhagavatam, Tadvag, Visarga, Janataka, Vibhubo, Yasmin, Pratislogama, Bhada, Vachapi, Namana, Nantashi, Yisho, Nikitani, Srinvanti, Gayanti, Srimad, Sadavaha. That it's meant to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of the impious civilization. In other words, change society. That's what Prabhupada's mission is. And so we, like Prabhupada disciples or leaders of the movement, have to take it as one of their most important responsibilities to teach people about this mission and faithfulness to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And then, even those who weren't initiated directly by Prabhupada, and Shiksha is actually more important than Diksha anyway, they can also have the association of Srila Prabhupada, even though they weren't around in the movement, or some of them, many of here, the devotees weren't even born when Prabhupada left the planet. Many of these devotees weren't born. And so, I mean, that was so many years ago. It was 1977. How many years ago was that? 41 years, right? I calculate 41 years. So if you're not 41 years old, you weren't even around. But the same principle of having Prabhupada manifest, you know, the super soul guidance manifest to you can be attained by those who were not initiated by Prabhupada if they understand the mission and the teachings and the example, those three things. You understand? Those are the three aspects. You know, we talk about Vani instructions, but it also means the mission. Because Prabhupada's instruction, the mission is actually encapsulated within the instructions if you read Prabhupada. So it's important for the devotees to regularly study the Lilamrita and other biographies about Prabhupada. I mean, those of us who are Prabhupada disciples, whenever we hear of a new biography about Prabhupada, what do? We immediately get it, isn't it? And read it. And we don't stop. We stay up, you know, my experience is, you know, just stay up all night past our bedtime reading it. And we've experienced it many times, the second, third generation, some new biography. They haven't read the old biographies, right? So there has to be that same enthusiasm to connect with his divine grace to the Prabhupada. And there could be some lamentation too. Oh yes, I wasn't around when Prabhupada was there. Or I didn't take initiation, or I didn't have enough association with Prabhupada when the Prabhupada was there. That lamentation is there, and that's what's being described here. And that will connect us in the same way that a chaste wife goes to join her husband. We can not only go to join Prabhupada at the end of this lifetime, but actually join Prabhupada even now through the dedication to his mission. So, anyway, so any questions or comments? Yes.
Well, the books are Srila Prabhupada left us, he dedicated his life to.
Yeah.
Leaving these books for us. So, some of us who are younger disciples of Prabhupada didn't get to be with Prabhupada very much personally.
Mm-hmm.
So then he has reading and distributing his books, and that was very important.
Yeah.
So it's the same way now for anybody. If you, as soon as you read that, you're associated with Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
And just read Prabhupada's books, and that's Prabhupada speaking in a very personal way.
Hmm.
You can take any verse. I mean, I used to do this when I was going to high school. Anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita, just read one purport, one verse of purport, and all of a sudden it really helped you that day.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, we used to do that with the Bhagavad Gita. You know, I'm having trouble today. Flip through the pages. Boop.
Doesn't matter where, it's all nectar.
It's like a Krishna conscious tarot card, you know.
Yeah.
That you just, yes, it's true. It's all nectar. And the point I was making about mission is very important too. Because there's many people in other missions that read Prabhupada's books, but they haven't accepted Prabhupada's mission. And there's many devotees who left the movement to make their own missions. Not many, I mean some. And they don't understand that, you know, Prabhupada, connecting with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada makes that point in the fourth canto, part four, when it serves the mission. He actually directly uses the word mission. I don't know if I can find that verse, but it's just following this. I don't...
Fourth canto, part four, sir?
Yeah, fourth canto, part four. Same. Yeah, it's the same... It's the same chapter that I'm not going to go ahead because I don't want to spoil the next verse for anybody. So it's mission. Prabhupada specifically uses the word mission there, too. So it's that's what I wanted to emphasize. Yeah, instructions, example, and hearing how Prabhupada acted. Another point about Srila Prabhupada is that he becomes our hero, our role model, when we read about his life. You know, I read about how Prabhupada, at the age of 70, went across the ocean. And then, you know, that's my age. I hate to give it away, even though everyone thought I was 35, but anyway.
You look 35.
No, I don't. You know, so...
You haven't crossed the ocean.
Yeah, why do you cross the ocean in a plane? I mean, if someone asked me to go across the ocean in a freighter with no money, with just a bag of oats. I mean, I don't know how I'm not surrendered. I don't know if I'm not surrendered. You know, so I contrast it, like Prabhupada, the faith in his spiritual master. Isn't it? He had so much faith in the order of his spiritual master. So that's the example for me, when I hear about that, that without any support, without any money, he did that. It's so inspiring. So I just want to continue serving Prabhupada when I hear that example. That's why the biographies are very important. You know, many devotees in that, and Jayapataka Maharaj is working on a biography right now, which is very nice. We're all looking forward to that. He's working on several different books. One is the biography, and another one is about all the holy places in Mayapur, I mean in West Bengal. Not West Bengal, East Bengal, too. Which is really exciting. I mean, we're all looking forward. This is a major contribution. So, okay, I think, yes, you have a question? Well, the mission of Srila Prabhupada is contained within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and that mission is to change the face of the world. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that to have the Supreme Court justices wearing tilak, basically. So that's the mission. The mission is to actually make Krishna consciousness worldwide, not only every town and village, which is already there because of Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya's name, Prabhupada did fulfill Lord Chaitanya's prediction that in every town and village the holy names would be chanted. But to make it, like Prabhupada said, let there be one scripture, you know, Bhagavad Gita. I mean, it's not that we're going to kick out all the other scriptures, but the Bhagavad Gita will be understood as the pinnacle, the topmost scripture that will be utilized to understand every other scripture in the world. And Prabhupada's right. And that's really what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted to change the world. It's not just a Jai Shishi Gornitai Radharadakanta Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. It's not just a small thing. Prabhupada had big eyes, you know. Big digestion, whatever you're saying. You know, Prabhupada wanted to change the world, a revolution in the whole world. I mean, just like you have these mundane revolutions, like you had Marx, you know, Karl Marx. Never heard of him before?
Yeah.
You know, communist. He wanted all the workers in the world to revolt, throw away the government, and have all the property and the money in the hands of everybody, whatever that means. I mean, he didn't really have a clear vision, and it was his vision that caused Russia to become a mess under Lenin and Stalin. But that was a world vision he had. So Prabhupada's vision is a world vision, but based upon godly vision. You know, the people would understand that there's God. At least everyone would understand there's God. He has different names. Krishna is one of his names. Krishna is the most attractive person. It's not that Prabhupada expected everybody to be chanting 16 rounds. You know, there's Varnashram. Prabhupada talked about how half of his mission was not instituted because of Varnashram. You know, he wanted to institute Varnashram. So Prabhupada had plans. Prabhupada had a lot of plans. And it's up to us to unpack Prabhupada's plans, but in order to do that, we have to stay united. I mean, if I go off and open up my own society, or let's say if Drew does it, the Drumilla Society for Krishna Consciousness, DrewCon. You know, I mean, he may make a few people Krishna conscious, or at least train them up how to sell hats. But he may make a few people Krishna conscious. You know, it's not that he's not doing anything, but he's not going to contribute to this overall mission. You understand?
Yeah.
This overall mission of changing the world. So if someone leaves Prabhupada's mission, they're not going to be part of changing the world. And to me, that's important. To me, it's not important to make a few disciples, or even a hundred or thousands of disciples. To me, the important thing is to be part of something that saves humanity. That's the generation I was brought up in. You know, 1960s. Isn't it? Save humanity, save the world. And to me, that's why I joined ISKCON rather than just chanting Hare Krishna on my own. Because I wanted to be part of something that made a difference to the world, to help people. Otherwise, I would have become a doctor. Those are the two choices I had. Become a doctor or join ISKCON. But when I thought of becoming a doctor, I understood that everybody who I cured would die. So I thought, what's the use of it? If every patient's going to not die because of me, but die ultimately.
Yeah.
You understand? So I said, what's the use? You know, you help someone. All right, they live a few more years, eat more meat, get more intoxicated. What's the use? It's what, like Bhagavatam says, what's the use of prolonged life like the trees or the bellows, you know, breathing? That's the Bhagavatam. So I was thinking like that. I said, I want to do something that's going to really help people permanently and help the world. You know, there were many people who wanted to help the world in the 1960s, but they didn't have the process. You know, the hippies, you know, give peace a chance, like that, you know, love. Because all the hippies became yuppies, yuppies became whatever it is, Generation X's or... You know, so therefore, you know, it's a purpose. Otherwise, what's the purpose of life? And you see, when someone leaves ISKCON, they've actually given up that purpose. I know it's a heavy statement. People are not going to like me for making this statement. But it's a fact. Yes?
Well, one thing may seem a little confusing, perhaps, to some, that Srila Prabhupada did not, of course, he was 100% more than that, dedicated to the mission of the spiritual master.
Yeah.
But he did not expand the Gaudiya Math. He started his own mission.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, well, first of all, the Gaudiya Math was defunct.
So he with the League of Devotees and then
because it was defunct. Because he tried, first of all, he tried to work with some elements of the Gaudiya Math that were still existing. You know, he actually wrote to them for support.
Yeah.
And even when Prabhupada was in New York, he had people who were going to donate in India to build a temple in New York or buy a temple in New York. But his godbrothers would not facilitate the currency exchange that was necessary. They didn't want to use their influence. They wouldn't send anyone to help Prabhupada. Prabhupada tried his best. Prabhupada was living in the temple of one of his godbrothers, and you know, doing the editing for one of the books or for the magazines of his godbrothers, and then they didn't like what he was doing. They just kicked him out, basically. They said, give him two sets of clothes, you know, send him on his way. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Prabhupada tried his best. But really, the Gaudiya Math had broken up. They're still fighting each other in court over properties. They did because they didn't follow the order of their spiritual master to stay within the mission and work cooperatively under the GBC. It was just the disappearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I was reading or hearing about his final days. And like the day before he left, he talked about the GBC, you know, forming a governing body commission. The day before he left. And they didn't do that. They appointed an acharya, or they actually had a little governing body commission, but for the first meeting they appointed an acharya. And then, you know, they had acharyas fall down. I mean, it's just like, it was amazing. But what kept ISKCON together through the initial struggling years, where we did have people, you know, leave, things like that, was the GBC remained strong as the ultimate managing authority of the International Society for Krishna. That kept us together. Not the gurus didn't keep us together. That was, you know, we had guru disasters for years. The GBC, if you hear about ISKCON history, but still, that kept us together. So, anyway, Prabhupada did try his best, and even though there was no really Gaudiya Math organization,